Hymn number 526, I Need Thee Every Hour.
And gathering us once again. I want to make a few announcements in the beginning. We want to continue to remember Olivia. Her procedure is tomorrow. And also Peggy, her eye surgery is tomorrow. So let's be praying for them. Be praying for them. I know you think I made a mistake, but I just texted her. All right. Also, Brother Norman Wells is going to be coming and preaching for us on Saturday night, September 19th, and Sunday morning, September 20th, and then we'll have lunch together. Now, in light of that, we're not going to have the fellowship Wednesday night meal next week, which we normally do. And there will be no Wednesday night service on the Wednesday prior to his coming. We'll just meet on Saturday night and Sunday morning, and then we'll eat together. If you can't remember that, I'll try to posted in the bulletin, if I can think of it myself. So let's remember them in prayer, and also others that are sick and have all cares of life and problems. Not only that, but pray for those that don't know Christ. And we ask the Lord to be pleased to reveal himself to them. Father, we thank you this evening for your goodness and mercy to us that flows to us freely through that one mediator and our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. We confess to you our great sinfulness and our weakness. And we know that without you, we not only can do nothing, but without you, we are nothing. And we are what we are by your grace and through the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you would help us with regard to these that are sick, that we mentioned, and others that are sick and have problems of life and cares and trials, Lord, that are common to us all. We pray for them that you would help them in every way, have your will and your way in what is done, Lord, here in this assembly. Lord, we know that we are in great need always of your help, your blessing, and Lord of all things, the revival of our hearts, Lord, and an acknowledgement of your preeminence in our lives. We thank you for being so gracious to us, saving us and keeping us, preserving us. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us in all things to give glory and honor and praise to your name. We thank you for everything that you do for us, the bounty that you come so faithfully and bestow upon us. You've loaded us, Lord, with benefits, as the psalmist said, and we thank you for it. We pray that you'd forgive us and help us, and cause us to be a witness to your glory in this world. We thank you, and we pray now in the name of Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 660. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The title of my message tonight is Today's the Day. Today's the Day. In my lifetime, I've never heard quite the amount of talking by people everywhere about the sad times in which we live. I don't know why that should surprise us that we find him such. The Bible tells us that in the last days, perilous times will come. But it seems like the news reminds us of it daily, hourly, and as if that wasn't enough, we get moment by moment bulletins reminding us. And we hear about all the frequent natural disasters, earthquakes, storms, floods, all the diseases, headlines such as COVID-19 now, all the crime, peace, people killed for no reason, just folks walking up to them and shooting them in the head, all the riots, the fires. And then there's the what seems to be the total collapse of morality. There are no absolute rights or wrongs. There's no homes for the most part like there have been for centuries. Such awful things in the business world and terrorism worldwide and the sad state of religion in our day. Sad, sad state of religion as it is presently. But in the midst of such a time, I thought about it. We can go everywhere and hear and see these things. But if we're to have any hope, if we're to know any real hope in this day, we'll have to go to the Word of God. And I pray that in the midst of all of these bad things, all these terrible situations, that we would not lose sight of what the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God tell us concerning this time and day. The Bible tells us surely that in the last days, perilous times will come. But the Lord has also told us that He has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. He's spoken some good news to somebody. And while it is on one hand such a bad day, you might say, it is on the other hand the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. And Paul reminds us here in this second verse of chapter 6. He says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." The day of salvation. I haven't heard anybody talking much about that. Today is the day of salvation. And to understand really what that means, look back with me to Luke chapter 4, where reference is made by the Lord Jesus Christ of the same thing, referencing things that were spoken by the prophets, spoken by the psalmist. In Luke chapter 4, and beginning in verse 14, it says, "And Jesus returned in power, in the power of the Spirit, into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised.'" Notice what it says in verse 19. "To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" I thought about it, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he went back to his home there in Nazareth, his hometown. And he began his ministry. He first revealed or declared himself as a preacher. A preacher. And I just imagine that it would have been in his day, as it was in our day, that if anything that we don't need in such a time like this, they would say, it's a preacher. But he went, and there in this hometown synagogue, he proclaimed from this message in Isaiah that he was there to preach the gospel and to usher in the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he said, this day, this appointed, ordained day, which is not simply a 24-hour period, but a time that stretches from the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ the first time to the coming of Christ the second time. This day, he said, is fulfilled in your ears. That's a message from the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 61. And if this was so in a small, obscure place like Nazareth, surely that the Lord's intentions were that it should be in places just like we're in this day and hour. You see, this day of salvation, or this accepted time of the Lord, is what Ezekiel called the time of love. The time of love. It's also that period of time that's called the day of visitation, or the day of grace. And it doesn't mean the lifetime of an individual or any portion of that lifetime, but the whole period of time, this day and age of grace, gospel grace, that Christ ushered in his coming and announced on this occasion. You see, in some places in the scripture, it's called a day. In others, it's called the year, or the year of the Lord. Elsewhere, it's called a time, meaning a considerable period. And at the same time, revealing that it has an end, and it has an end, and at that appointed time it will cease, but that that time has not yet come. The day of the coming of the Lord in that day has not yet come. And all these events, and all these circumstances, and all these declines may be evidence, and surely are evidence of its soon coming. But that time is not yet come. And there's one thing that, while it is obvious it will be characterized by these terrible things, it will also be characterized especially by God's grace. It's a day of His visitation. It's the day of salvation. It's the time of love. It's the time when God manifests Himself in the midst of these things as the Lord, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. It's the day that the Lord hath made. You know, we take that always to be just one single day, and we think ourselves pious when we respond to somebody. But this is the day that the Lord hath made in its entirety. with all of this wickedness, with all this wrong, with all these things going on, it's the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice in the wickedness? No. Rejoice in the turmoil? No. Rejoice in all these things that are going on? No. But rejoice that the Lord has made it for His glory, and He has made it and brought it to pass for His grace to be shown to His people. It's His day and age of grace. And there are some things that make sure that it is a good day. There are some things that make sure that it really is the day of salvation. And one of those things is because God's purpose never changes. We say in the midst of these things, God still maintains His purpose. But all these things are a part of the of His purpose because it's an eternal purpose. And not only is it an eternal purpose, but it is a purpose of grace in Jesus Christ to a people that He has chosen, that He has predestinated, that He has reserved for an eternal inheritance. A people. In the midst of all these people whom Christ has redeemed out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and He says, and every one of them, when they see the Son, they'll never perish. It'll be the day of their salvation. It's a time that He purposed that they should live in. That Christ should come into this world and die on that cross to redeem them. And they will be saved by His grace. They will be brought, some of them out of the very dregs of society. Some of them out of the very riots that take place. Some of them out of the very murderers that take place. It's a day of His grace and His mercy, and everyone that looks to Christ will be saved. And it's also the day of salvation because of this, because God never changes. When He addresses His people and He reminds them of this very thing in the book of Malachi, and He tells them, I am the Lord, I change not. How does He address them as? Ye sons of Jacob, you connivers, you sinners, you rebels, you liars, I'm the Lord who has fixed this purpose of grace. I'm the Lord who loves you and who chose you and who sent Christ to be the perpetuation of your sin. I'm the Lord, ye sons of Jacob. Therefore, you're not consumed. And He changes not. I doubt it ever enters into our mind sometimes. We're above all that, you know. When we see those rioters and those people burning buildings and such as that on the street and running wild, first of all, it's a picture of all that we are in ourselves, but for God's grace and restraint. But amongst some of them, amongst this time and hour, God has a people, and He has said and will not change, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And in this very place where he went, Corinth, he said, the Lord told him and reminded him to preach because I have much people in this city. And Paul tells us in Romans 5, and we ought to be reminded of this every day. He said, and where sin abounded, grace did the much more abound. The policeman and the murderer, the good person morally and the person involved in the streets, both of them, without God's grace in Christ, will perish. But they're not all going to perish. Some of them are going to get pretty bad. They may go to prison or what have you. But this is the day of salvation. And while all these things are going on, you know what's happening? I don't care how dark it looks or bad it looks or how mean they seem. God is saving a people for Christ's sake. He's up to the challenge. He's able to make new. He's able to give a new heart of faith to. He's able to bring every rebel sinner to himself. And he has not changed, and neither has his faithfulness changed. God is faithful, Paul writes in Corinthians, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Nobody ever comes to Christ by their faithfulness. Nobody's ever saved by God by their faithfulness. It's always God's faithfulness. And his faithfulness to save and to keep and preserve a people in Christ has never altered, diminished, or anything. He's faithful. God is faithful, and faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And in this time, he's given a faithful saying. Paul recording these words. This is the faithful saying. How can it be a faithful saying unless it comes from the faithful God? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptations that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. What did he come into the world to do? He came into the world to save sinners. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And if no matter what takes place in this world, no matter how bad it gets, this world will not end until the faithful God has called out that one last sheep, that one last elect one that he chose in Christ and that Christ died for. If it goes on 1,000 years till that takes place, and no matter how bad it gets, they'll be saved. Because it's the day of salvation. And sometimes a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. But here's another reason, and that's because the sacrifice of Christ has not altered. He's put away somebody's sin. Here's some over here, they think compared to some of the others that they don't have many sins. But somebody's sins have been put away. He's been a substitute for somebody. He satisfied God's justice for some. It just yet remains to be seen who. Paul, in such circumstances, in such a time, he was afraid. You know how I know he was afraid? Well, he was in a fearful place. Corinth was a fearful place. But not only that, but because the Lord told him to fear not. God knew he was afraid. God knew he had a weakness. But he said, open your mouth and preach the gospel. Spread this message new. Tell them about Christ, because I have much people in this city. You say, well, he was hoping somebody would give their heart to Jesus. No. He already had them. They were already his people. He already had chosen them and ordained them and predestinated them and given them to Christ. And Christ had already died for them. They were his, and it yet to be made manifest who they were by the gospel. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and I've often felt lately that the situation and the circumstance in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain is much like it probably is going to be at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Such a wicked time, but righteous Lot is delivered. God sent an angel down there. Let him out. Delivered him. And Peter calls him righteous Lot. Well, what was he doing living in Sodom then? I don't know. All I know is this. He was righteous because God said he was righteous. And he was righteous because the Lord imputed to him the righteousness of Christ. And because he was a righteous man, God would not destroy him. And then I thought about this. It's the day of salvation because the power of God has not diminished a bit. I really believe, even some of the Lord's people don't think that the God of Moses or the God of Abraham or the God of Jacob or the God of Joshua, that he's not the same God in power. But the power of God, not only as God, has not diminished, but the power of God in grace. That's why we call it omnipotent grace. It's the grace of God, the omnipotent God. It's the grace of God whose power has not diminished any way as it goes on to the end of time. He's the Almighty God. It's not like a battery that weakens with much use. He's still mighty to save. Who is that yonder clothed in those bloody garments? That's what the prophet asked. Who is that yonder coming? He's God, mighty to say. Mighty to save. He's still able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by Him. And here's a good way to know the power of grace. And that is, look at yourself and know that if God could save you, if He could save me, He could save anybody. I tell you, I feel like that in times like these, our real problem is that we tend to fall into worse self-righteousness. That we forget who and what we really are. That it's so easy to look upon some that we see all around us in this wickedness and say, well, I'm glad I'm not like they are. That's what the Pharisees said. But today's the day, because God has not brought this day to a close. You won't have to wonder. If you're living here when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, you won't have to wonder if He's coming back. You won't have to wonder who it is. Nobody in the world, every eye shall see Him. Those that pierced Him, everybody will know without a doubt. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He's Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There won't be any questions, any wonder about it. Is this Him? Because He's coming with all the holy angels. And He's coming in the glory of His person as King of kings and Lord of lords, the Lord of hosts. He will come, but He hasn't yet. He will come, surely. That's evidenced by His first coming. But He hasn't yet. Which is good news to sinners who don't know Him. The gospel is preached. This is the day of salvation. And if you're a child of God, it's amazing that what Paul said here in verse 2, which is in a kind of parentheses, he said after first saying what he says in verse 1. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. We then who preach the gospel, we then who believe the gospel, we then His people are workers together with Him. So if it's the day of salvation and He has mercifully saved us, it's the day for us also to proclaim His gospel and pray for all people and situations and serve Him in His kingdom and be confident in Him and seek to bring our loved ones and our friends and all men under the sound of the gospel and expect God to save some. Did you wake up this morning wondering who the Lord will save today? We rarely do that, do we? Well, when Paul wrote this, there was a wicked conquering kingdom that had overtaken everything in the land that he lived in. The Roman Empire had spread its tentacles to that place. There were wicked kings like Herod and Agrippa. There were vile governors appointed in the land. There were politicians who had John the Baptist killed because he wanted his brother's wife. But there in place in the book of Acts, it says that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Such as should be saved. Who should be saved? All his people. Every elect sinner. Everyone that Christ poured out his blood for. The Lord did it. He added to the church daily such as should be saved. Paul said this is the day of salvation. Christ said this is the day of salvation. And thankfully, they neither have said that it's past. It's the day of grace. The day of God's power. Today, if you harden not your hearts like those in the wilderness, today is the day of salvation. Today's the day. And all that has gone on in this one day or in these days can't change that. But your calendar isn't marked with it, is it? Today is the day of salvation. And the Lord will add in the midst of it to his church such as should be saved. I hope it's my children. I'm selfish. I hope it's my children. I hope it's my friends. It may not be. But if he saves, whoever he saves, they'll be my brother. They'll be in my family. They'll be the Lord's children. And he saves them for his glory. Father, we ask tonight that you would remind us, that you would cause us, Lord, to, in the weakness of this flesh, see beyond this world, see beyond this veil of tears, troubles, conflicts, and fix our eyes upon the Savior King, who announced this time in which we live, as the accepted time, the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of salvation. We pray that we might live in the conscious realization of this, confident in what you've purposed to do, confident in your ability to do it, not ours, confident in the fact that you'll keep us, preserve us, as we bear witness to Christ. Help us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.